welcome to another LinuxQuestions.org podcast. A final reminder that the podcasts have moved from my blog to the LQ Radio site. This will be the last podcast that I post to both locations. Please make sure you update your aggregator or podcatcher to the new feed. Only about 16 hours left until I board the plane to Boston for the Linux World Conference and Expo. LinuxQuestions.org is a proud sponsor of the event. This will be the fifth Linux World Expo that we've participated in, and each one has been better than the last. I'd like to thank IDG for once again inviting us to participate. If you'll be anywhere near Boston on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, I encourage you to attend. Make sure to stop by Booth 18 in the .org Pavilion and say hello. If you need a free pass, contact me and I'd be happy to provide one. Also, don't forget that FedoraCon is the day after Linux World. I've confirmed that I'll be attending, so see you there. The polls have closed and the winners have been announced in the 2004 LinuxQuestions.org Members' Choice Awards. Almost 25,000 votes were cast and winners include Firefox, KDE, MySQL, and Slackware. For full details, visit linuxquestions.org/awards. I'd like to congratulate each and every nominee. In total, we'll be giving away 9 certificates at Linux World and we'll be mailing out the rest. As you may have read on the LQ Radio site, we've settled most of our technical difficulties and we'll be moving ahead with a Skype-only show. We hope to have the first show up a couple of weeks after I get back from Linux World. For those of you who haven't heard the LQ Radio intro yet, here's a sneak peek.
LinuxQuestions.org presents LQ Radio, the number one online radio broadcast focusing on Linux and open source. And now, LQ Radio, open talk about open source.
Harold contacted me today and notified me that he has some audio clips from the recent Scale 3 conference that he'd like to post here at LQ. I really wanted to attend Scale, as it sounded like a great event, and LQ was a sponsor. As you may have guessed, I happily took him up on his offer. You should see the first in a series of clips posted soon. Thanks, Harold. On a final LQ note, LQ ISO just hit its 500,000th download. Not bad for its first 6 months. It now has over 100 distribution versions available for download from over 350 mirrors. The next time someone asks where to download Linux from, make sure to point them to lqiso.org. On to Linux news. There's been a ton of great news stories recently, and unfortunately I only have time for about 2 today. When I get back from Linux World and things start to settle down, you should notice a marked increase in the Linux news stories available in this podcast. The first story, Mike Nash, Microsoft's security chief, recently compared Microsoft's security record this year with that of Red Hat and Novell. From the article, even with the relatively large number of bulletins we released this week, and right there he's referring to the 13 bulletins that they posted last, Tuesday, we compare favorably, he said. Year-to-date for 2005, Microsoft has fixed 15 vulnerabilities affecting Windows Server 2003. In that same time period, for just this year, Red Hat Enterprise Linux 3 users have had to patch 34 vulnerabilities, and SUSE Enterprise Linux 9 users have had to patch over 78 vulnerabilities. End quote. So, why is this a silly and meaningless comparison? First, Microsoft tends to post security patches only after a vulnerability or flaw has been made public. On the flip side, patches for open source programs are often preemptive. More importantly, comparing quote-unquote Windows Server 2003 with a full Linux distro is a bit misleading, especially when used in this context. It's comparing nothing but a core OS with a full-blown OS with the works. How many patches are there for a Windows 2003 server installed that includes Office, Visual Studio, and the myriad other programs that it would take to match the functionality of the distros that they're comparing to? And at that point, could you get security updates for such a configured Windows system from one single vendor like you can with Novell and Red Hat? The answer, as you may have guessed, definitely not. Finally, it also ignores the ease of exploit and the nature of exploit. It puts a local non-root exploit in a program such as MPG123 on even ground with a remote code execution with privilege escalation in Internet Explorer. So you put all that together, and what do you get? the quoted stats are not only useless, but misleading. I'm sure that won't stop that from getting quoted everywhere, though. Now, don't take this as an indication that I think Linux security is perfect, because it's far from it. We still have a long way to go. It's just that it's better than Windows, which you have to admit has set the bar pretty low. The next story I have is from the Computer Business Review and is entitled "Judge Astonished by SCO's Lack of Evidence Against IBM." From the article, viewed against the backdrop of SCO's plethora of public statements concerning IBM and others' infringement of SCO's purported copyrights to the Unix software, it is astonishing that SCO has not offered any competent evidence to create a disputed fact regarding whether IBM has infringed SCO's alleged copyrights through IBM's Linux activities, Judge Kimball wrote. I'd have to say that the judge is one of the last people on earth to be astonished by this. Certainly none of us are. A bit more from the article. Nevertheless, despite the vast disparity between SCO's public accusations and its actual evidence, or complete lack thereof, and the resulting temptation to grant IBM's motion, the court has determined that it would be premature to grant summary judgment, he added. So, while it's unfortunate to see that the case is not over yet, it's good to see that it's officially heading in the right direction. That's all I have for you now, but stay tuned, and thanks for listening. See you in Boston.